Today, the label socialist is used to attack everything from Obamacare to wearing masks for COVID-19. But in the early 20th century, socialism was a political movement with a strong political party. I'm speaking with Bill Buell, an award-winning reporter and feature writer for the Daily Gazette and the Schenectady County Historian, about his book, George Lund, the 1912 Socialist Victory in Schenectady. Thank you for being here, Bill.
Thank you for having me, Garrett.
You know, they say that the times make the man. I'm curious about this character, George Lund, who you've done amazing research on. And can you tell us a little bit about the background of George Lund and the times that he lived in?
Sure. He was born in 1873 in Taylor County, Iowa. His family moved to Nebraska when he was 12. He ends up deciding relatively early in life that he wanted to be a minister. So he goes to Princeton Seminary for a year. The Spanish-American War breaks out. He volunteers for a Nebraska regiment under the command of William Jennings Bryan. He gets offered a chaplaincy, but he refuses. He wants to do the fighting. So he joins the Nebraska regiment, goes down to Florida, spends about a month fighting mosquitoes, and that was about it. And then the war is over, and he's done. Instead of going back to Princeton, he goes to Union Theological Seminary in New York City, which was a much more liberal institution than Princeton at the time. He becomes a minister. He works down in New York and in the Hudson Valley. And in 1904, he comes to Schenectady and the First Reformed Church. He's a very popular minister. He works there for 6 or 7 years. Runs into a little bit of trouble with the consistory for preaching the social justice doctrine. So he ends up leaving the church. He's kind of drafted by the local Socialist Party to run for mayor in 1911. And lo and behold, to everyone's surprise, in November of 1911, he is elected mayor of Schenectady as a socialist.
The interesting thing is about it, he has a lot of things to say about socialism and Christianity. One of the things that you mentioned is the anomaly of child labor in the Christian land. He also mentions something that sounds very familiar today to a lot of listeners. It's not the millionaire who makes the wealth, gentlemen, it's based on community. Why was it that in 1899, 1% of the families of the U.S. owned more general wealth than did the other 99%? That sounds very familiar nowadays.
Yeah, I was in the Eppner Center above City Hall in Schenectady going through some old letters, and I was pretty much done with a lot of the book, and then I came across that letter with the reference to the 1%, and I just kind of jumped out of my chair. I said, oh my God, I almost missed this, because it sounded so familiar, and here is this guy in 1906, I believe that was, talking about the 1% and the 99%. So it was just another reason that confirmed that, you know, writing a book about this guy was the right thing to do.
Who would have thought that Schenectady would be so important? One person said that what Schenectady thinks today, the U.S. does tomorrow, so far as organized labor is concerned. And you have a lot of characters, very famous people that have touched down, visited, worked in Schenectady, including Lucy Parsons, Emma Goldman, Eugene Debs, Walter Lippmann, mm-hmm. William Jennings Bryan, and Helen Keller. Can you tell us a little bit about why Schenectady?
Well, Schenectady was booming at the time. The population was growing rapidly because of General Electric and the American Locomotive Company. If you look at the census around the country, you'll notice that the population is increasing in all these industrial towns across the country. But in Schenectady, it was increasing like nowhere else. They went from 14,000 people in 1886 when Thomas Edison arrived to like 45,000 by 1900. By 1910, there were like 75 to 80,000. Schenectady never got quite officially anyway to 100,000. But in 1923, the post office approximated that the population had gone over 100,000. But in the 10-year census at Washington kept, the highest it got was like 95,000. But this is all because of immigration flowing into Schenectady to work for General Electric and the American Locomotive Company, which were two of the biggest businesses in the country at the time.
You also mentioned in a couple of chapters what was going on in Little Falls and how George Lund was kind of involved in the labor movement there.
Yeah, Little Falls is just a wonderful aspect of his life. He was socialist mayor, and in September, October of 1912, he's also running for U.S. Congress at this time. But there's a textile strike in Little Falls, which is about 70 miles, 60 miles maybe, to the west of us here in Schenectady. He and other socialists from this area went out there, supported the strikers. Lund is arrested and put into jail for two nights. He could have paid his bail and been released, but he didn't want to leave his fellow socialists and Schenectadians in jail. There are like six or seven of them. So he ends up staying in jail for two nights. He's eventually released. He goes back to Little Falls, speaks again. Little Falls had the eyes of the nation on it. There are all kinds of wobblies from the International Workers of the World Association. People like Helen Schloss, the little red nurse, we called her because she ends up going to Russia and serve over there. But these are wonderful people. Bill Haywood, he was a little bit radical maybe, but I believe he was well-meaning. But all these prominent socialists and activists kind of converge on Little Falls. And George Lund is one of the people that really contributed to the cause. And in January of 1913, the strike ends, not satisfactory. There wasn't a satisfactory conclusion to either side, but it did end, and it was just another indication of Lund's compassion for people, his concern about the working poor and trying to create a better life in Schenectady and across the state. When the immigration problem, probably I don't want to call it a problem, but the immigration crisis came to Schenectady, there was, poor housing, poor medical care for all these people in the first two decades of the 20th century. And he went out of his way to help improve the quality of life. He developed health clinics in the city, him and Charles Steinmetz, the wizard of Schenectady, a GE scientist, created Central Park, so poor people would have an opportunity to go and enjoy the outdoors. He does a bunch of wonderful things, and it's just, I kept on researching him, kept on reading about him, and I never came across anything that I didn't like about him. So he's a remarkable character.
One of the terms that I picked up in your book was the term sewer socialists. And it was that they were concerned with the local population, the sewers, milk inspections, improving educational opportunities. It's really quite amazing that we haven't heard more about George Lund. The Central Park issue was kind of a battle for him, wasn't it?
Yeah, they needed to raise money. So that first fall winter of 1912, at the same time while he's dealing with the strike in Little Falls, he's also trying to create a park in Schenectady, and they were trying to pass a bond through the city council, and it was actually defeated. They tried it later in 1913, and this time it actually worked. And through his efforts and Charles Steinmetz, who I just mentioned, we have this wonderful Central Park, which is still enjoyed by, you know, thousands of Schenectadians and people throughout upstate New York. It's just a wonderful place, and it's all because of Lund's foresight and that of Steinmetz as well, who was a great scientist, but he was also a very civic-minded individual. And he was a socialist. He had remained kind of quiet until Lund was elected, and then he volunteered to help him in any way he could. So Lund appointed him to the school board and the park commission as well.
I'm speaking with Bill Buell, the Schenectady County historian, about his book, George Lund, the 1912 Socialist Victory in Schenectady. It's quite an amazing book, Bill. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Garrett. I enjoyed it.